Welcome to Talking Cybersecurity, a weekly podcast listened to in over 50 countries. My name is Richard Herron and I am your presenter. In the Talking Cybersecurity podcast, expect to hear all things related to the cybersecurity industry, whether that's getting your first job, interviews, board reports, data breaches, different approaches to cybersecurity, or conferences. None of the opinions expressed on this podcast by myself or guests are necessarily reflective of the opinions of the organisations we represent. If you want to continue the conversation, feel free to join the LinkedIn group, Talking Cybersecurity. I use Pixabay for most of the music heard on this podcast. Hi everyone, ni hao. Welcome back to Talking Cybersecurity episode 64. Now as you know, I usually produce each episode on a Sunday and on the odd occasional Saturday. Today is not Saturday or Sunday. In fact, it's Wednesday after work that I am recording this. Why am I doing it on Wednesday after work? Well, I did a very big house move over the weekend. And when it came to Sunday, I was still packing things away into the new place, and I was overly tired. I also went to the football on Saturday, so that didn't help the situation either. So now I'm in a new suburb, new place, and I need to find a new coffee shop. What's next? I don't know, new job? Who knows? So I haven't prepared a lot for today, but I do want to tell you about a great get-together I was involved in with last week. So I'm part of what's called the CISO tribe. Shemaine Tan from Securo looks after us and organises everything. Chatham House rules apply, so there are some things I just cannot repeat. We basically get together, we break into three or four groups, discuss a topic and then report back to the group. And personally, I find it as important, if not more important and more educational for me than attending a 2 to 3 day security conference. So it's 4 hours of my time, once in a blue moon, but boy, I do learn a lot. I met a few people, I'd have to look at my notes who I met, but I'll mention those people later. I was in the Essential 8 group, and all of this is in the public domain, so I can give you a blow-by-blow description of what we discussed a fraction later in this episode. Again, if any tribers are listening, one, the discussion on the E8 is all publicly known knowledge, and two, I did ask our fearless leader if she minded if I did a small episode on the get-together, and she was okay with it. Now, if I don't get invited to the next CISO tribe get-together, you'll probably know why. So, in summary, there were three discussions. One was on the Essential 8, which I will discuss. The other was on a discussion about vendor relationships with James Ng from Insignia gave us the summary of, and one on retail, which Nigel Hedges from Chemist Warehouse summarised to the group. As you may well know, or should well know, if you're a cyber person, that is, the Essential 8 is a set of controls, you wouldn't believe it, but there's 8 of them, a set of controls developed by the Australian Cybersecurity Centre, ACSC, designed to help organisations protect against cyber threats. The Australian Signals Directorate, that's the ASD, which manages the ACSC, the Australian Cybersecurity Centre, we're full of acronyms today, aren't we? I might say that again quickly though. The Australian Signals Directorate, which manages the ACSC, originally had 35 or more controls and had created what was referred to as the top 4 controls. Now those top 4 controls, and I remember looking at them years ago, they were application whitelisting, patching applications, patching operating systems, and restricting admin privileges. Well, those top 4 have been expanded and changed into what we now know as the Essential 8. So the Essential 8, in no real order, application control, patch applications, configure Microsoft Office macro settings, user application hardening, restrict administrative privileges, patch operating systems, multi-factor authentication, and last but by no means least, regular backups. Within these 8 controls, there are 4 levels of maturity. Level zero doesn't mean you've got nothing in place, but it does signify that there are weaknesses in your organization's cybersecurity posture that could easily be exploited by attackers for that particular control. Remember, there's eight essential ones. Level one signifies an improvement on level zero, and this represents basic implementation of the particular E8 control. Approaches to mitigate this area have been done in a relatively limited fashion. You guessed it, level 2's next, which is an improvement over level 1, who would have thought? Mitigations have been applied in a more comprehensive manner. Level 3 is an improvement over level 2, and level 1 and level 0, and this level represents an optimized level of mitigation. Personally, I think if you've got up to level 2 maturity, you're traveling pretty well. Some of the E8 themes that we discussed were that a number of organizations measure themselves against the NIST framework, but not necessarily the Essential 8 framework, although measurement towards the Essential 8 is increasing. It is easier to walk a board through NIST expectations. They're quite easy to understand, NIST. You know, identify, protect, detect, respond, recover, and govern. So that's quite easy for a board to understand, right? Those main headings like protect means something. But the E8, the Essential 8 expectations, are relatively technical and can quite often require quite a bit of explanation to a board. The Essential 8 is very prescriptive, thus expectations are very clear. It is, however, very technically focused. I think very might be the word of the day today. Movement up the levels of maturity can be onerous. Unless every component of a level has been achieved, an organization cannot be operating at that level. What does that mean, Richard? This is a good example. An organization could meet every criterion for levels 2 and 3, but be considered as a level 0 as it did not meet one specific criteria within level 1, right? So you can have every box ticked except one little control within level 1. Instead of being a level 3, a level 2, or a level 1, you become a level 0, which doesn't sound too good, does it? Now, some organizations make trade-offs when it comes to the Essential 8. Someone mentioned that they made an active decision not to follow the guidelines of application control, but instead spent resources on implementing endpoint detection response mechanisms, because it's a better control in most cases for the purposes of application control. And this is a matter of just weighing up compliance versus security. You may well have heard 1,000 times, compliance doesn't necessarily equal security. One of the failings of the Essential 8 is that it does not address the most common vulnerability. What is that, Richard? What is the most common vulnerability? It's the human factor, of course. We continually hear that 100% of breaches are due to the human, so why isn't security awareness a part of the E8? I've got a feeling it's going to pop up soon, because the last revision was November 2023. Maybe we might even see an Essential 9. Is that possible? I don't know. It sounds a bit of an odd number, doesn't it? Maybe it'll be the top 10 controls in the next iteration. Now, many organizations find patching difficult, and this has been exacerbated by some Essential 8 changes made last year. And there's other areas, though, such as local privilege management, which is much easier to implement than, say, patching. One of the things we discussed was consider using experienced consultants to help you roll out the Essential 8. In fact, you could substitute the word Essential 8 for a number of security initiatives. If you don't have the knowledge, the experience, or the time, get an external consultant in to help you with Essential 8 or whatever it is. There's also interesting tools when it comes to the Essential 8, some software, and I've used some of that before, which you basically, I'll just say, you plug it in and hit the green button, and it'll tell you how compliant you are to the Essential 8. It may not be 100% accurate, but it gives you a pretty good idea of some blind spots, and it does produce some nice graphs, I must say, which is really good for reporting that you have to do as a security person. What else did we discuss? Yes, that's right. We have mentioned the new controls that were introduced in November 2023. changes to patching, unfortunately, to make it more stringent. They were made in levels 1 through to 3. So there I was saying people struggle a bit to meet the patching expectations. Well, in November 2023, the ASD made the patching compliance just a little bit harder. Thank you very much, Australian Signals Directorate. Your heart was in the right place. Expectations around multi-factor authentication have also increased, and this concept of phishing-resistant MFA was introduced, which impacts levels 1 through to 3 for MFA. Greater expectations have also been placed on restricting admin privileges. Some characteristics of an organisation, so think about certain industries they're in or the amount of staff they may have, may negatively impact the ability to meet stronger levels of the Essential 8. So imagine a really large sized workplace. It may be cost prohibitive or administratively difficult to offer an MFA device to every staff member. So I've been in certain situations where I've discussed with various organisations and we've talked about MFA, and people have said, we're in a highly unionised environment with, say, 30,000 staff members. They will refuse to use their own mobile devices as an MFA device. We would have to purchase 25,000 mobile devices, say, to use as an MFA device. So there's kind of issues there. So sometimes in paper it says, oh, you know, use MFA like a phone as a device. Sometimes it can be harder to implement. So theory is good, but in practice, not so good. Some organisations mandate certain levels of maturity within departments, and if you don't meet that certain level of maturity, you don't get funding. And the last thing we talked about in this discussion was that be wary of E8 self-assessments. And I've been caught out before in the past with doing my own self-assessment as well. Sometimes you think you've just got it right. Oh, we're all definitely a level 2 here and a level 3 there. Then you obtain an independent assessment or execute a security tool and you find your maturity is not what you originally thought. That was the Tribe get-together, and that was my table's discussion about the Essential 8. Callum Nelson from Lifeblood was on our table, and he was the main facilitator there, so it was good to actually meet him in person, as it was Andrew Morgan from La Trobe Uni. And so I had to explain to one of the participants that the reason I was struggling with some names, especially his, was that many years ago, I was blasted with overdose levels, almost, of chemotherapy. Now, the positive side of that is, of course, is that 9 times out of 10, you'll be cured of your cancer, which I was, which was great. The negative side is that sometimes you can get what you hear as brain fog. So you might know someone, and I knew one guy, VJ, I've known him for a few years now, so I know his name, but sometimes because of that brain fog, you can look at them and their name just escapes you. And that happens to me on the very odd occasion. So VJ, that's why at one stage looked at you and could not remember your name. But I certainly remember who the new people I met. And that's the end of that. Well, that was the short discussion on the Essential 8. Again, it wasn't an in-depth look at the Essential 8, but hopefully it gave you an insight at what is discussed at these CISO Tribe get-togethers. I did go to the football last week with my friend Paul, and it was great to see my team Essendon beat Paul's team Hawthorn. Well, that's about it for just a quick episode. I thought I should do one. I've never missed a week in, what, last year that I've been doing Talking Cybersecurity, so I slotted it in. All right, a couple of days late, but you still get an episode. Hope that helps someone. Have a great week. I certainly will, and I'll speak to you next week. See ya. Bye.